Good Saturday morning again. This is 1050 KTBL, and you are listening to Go Local Boom, your small business talk show here for Albuquerque. Go Local Boom is sponsored by Go Local Boom LLC, Albuquerque's only online business directory where locally owned businesses and local customers can find one another. Please visit GoLocalBoom.com to check it out. Our first guest this morning is Dr. Norm Dawson, nutritional consultant. Dr. Norm, give us the name of your business.
Called Balancing Life and Work, LLC.
Balancing Life and Work. Wow, what a valuable resource for an entrepreneur, right?
Absolutely.
Vince and I, good morning, Vincent, my co-host, co-founder of Go Local Boom.
Great being on here. Thanks, Sean, for introducing me and everyone else.
I'm so excited about this. I didn't eat breakfast this morning, so my brain is a little slow. So Dr. Norm's probably going to school us this morning. But Dr. Norm, in case you haven't heard the show before, Go Local Boom is focused on entrepreneurs in the community, independently employed, but also local businesses in general. If for some reason the owner and operator can't get in here, they may send their marketing person. But what we always like to do is ask people great questions about their business, what got them involved in doing what they're doing. So to get us started, tell us about your business, your brand, and how people can reach you if they want to.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm kind of excited about this here.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us.
I am a retired chiropractor. And as a retired chiropractor, for the last 17 years, I've been doing this business, but I've been associated and had the business for 19 years.
How long were you in chiropractic?
5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I started late. I was almost 50 years old.
What did you do before that?
How much time do you have?
We've got about 15 minutes.
Yes. I've done everything from retail sales to driver delivery. I had my own computer training consulting company before that. I was a student for many, many years.
And we asked that question because each of those things probably lends itself really well to what you're doing now. So we always like to get a little peek behind the curtain. What made you who you are? What gave you the desire to operate your own business, right? So let's talk about what you do today.
Sure. Well, to put it succinctly in a real small nutshell with the time we have is that I'm an expert in helping people find out what they want and where they want to go with their health.
Okay.
And the way I do that is I simply interview people. So, for example, Vince, if I were to say to you, you were to be a client of mine now, I end up enrolling people in their own health lives, for example. So I've had permission for you to talk to me and you've agreed to sit down with me, and we're going to have a conversation about you.
Okay. Yeah,
not about me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after I've had your permission, I would say, so if I were to give you a magic wand, and I've got a bunch of those, what two things would you change about your life regarding your health?
Well, right now, and I've thought about this, and it's a little bit of an embarrassing topic, but I know it affects a lot of men over 40. So, getting up to use the restroom in the middle of the night several times, disrupts my sleep, causes me to be a little fatigued, and I don't get that deep, deep sleep I would like. So that's one of them. You know, having energy throughout the day would be another. Pretty much a lot of things associated with energy and rest, yeah.
Sure. Okay, so what I hear you saying is that you have noticed that you need to get up in the middle of the night to, you know, empty your bladder, and that causes you to have some fatigue and lack of energy and a little bit of lack of focus, and that's something you'd like to maybe rectify so that you would have more energy and can do more things during the day. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of them. Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Great. And what would be another issue? Energy, you say?
Yeah, energy throughout the day. So, maybe associated with, you know, a little bit of fatigue, and that could be from not getting a full deep sleep or getting full REM sleep at night. I'd also say diet and how that affects my energy as well. I have a little bit of swings. I have a diabetes that's run in my family before, so paying attention to what I eat, making sure that I'm not eating the wrong things so that I have these dips in energy that require then having caffeine to bring me back up on the other end.
Sure. So what I hear you saying is that you are concerned about your diet. You want to manage those peaks and flows so you don't have so many peaks and flows. But what I hear you saying is you're concerned about diabetes that runs in your family. You want to make sure that you don't end up getting diabetes or being diabetic.
Right. And even if I don't get it, you know, how do I manage being sugar or sensitive, you know?
Sure. Okay. So you want to manage that
more
carefully. Okay,
yes.
Great. So, Vince, with the time that we have here, let me ask you this. How committed are you to making those things happen?
more committed than I was when I was younger.
Okay.
The older I get, I seem to get a lot more commitment around it personally.
Sure. On a scale of 1 to 10, then what would that be?
Probably about an 8.
Okay, good. All right. So, Vince, given the time that we have here, an 8 would be somebody that I could talk to you, and I would be able to sit down with you and work out a plan, give you some ideas of what we could do. Because if you're an 8 or higher, that means you're committed. Mm-hmm. That's like the person that wants to run a marathon, and they're going to do it. And what they do is they say, I'm committed to running a marathon. And so I say, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to buy some track shoes. What else are you going to do? Well, you know, I'm just going to run, just get the best shoes. Well, that's not a commitment. That is just maybe thinking about a 4 or 5 commitment. But if you're an 8 or a 9 or a 10, you're going to get out there. You're going to put 2 hours a day in. You're going to eat the right kinds of food. You're going to hire a personal trainer. Time and money is not an option. You are going to do what's necessary.
Right.
And so that's why I ask you on a scale of 1 to 10. So it sounds like you're number 8. So I have some solutions that I could propose to you, right. And that's what I would do with the rest of my interview, but we don't have time for that today. But I'd be happy to schedule a time with you, and we'll make that happen right after the interview.
That sounds great, yeah, absolutely. I love that. Right. So what you do is take problems like that, figuring out what they want to do health-wise, they want to make some adjustments, and then where do you take it from there? I mean, do you help with diet planning? Do you provide specific recommendations on what they can eat, supplements they can take? Where do you take that from there?
Well, I do a variety of things. I don't always have the answer. For example, for you, I would say with your bladder situation, I would say, first of all, I'd ask you some questions about, have you gone to your doctor? What are the things you're eating? How much water do you drink a night? What kind of food do you eat? You know, I would ask you a series of questions because I may not have the solution, but I might be able to direct you.
Right. Do you look at things like a blood work or blood test, or do you know if I went to the doctor and found out some items? And I only bring this up because I really do believe that alternative in medicine, for lack of a better term, with what you do specifically, I don't want to put you in that category, but alternative medicine providers outside of the standard medical profession, I find are providing a great deal of value to a lot of people. But they're not always recognized in particular categories they're in. I've seen it within my own family, how my mother really benefited from acupuncture, how that helped. And she had she had post-polio, and that affected her later on in life, as where she got really lethargic and she was having some issues. Regular Western medicine said, you know, hey, you're going to have to take these pain pills, and you're going to have to be very careful with your energy, because once that's done, that's gone. She went to acupuncture, took some herbs, and she's living a fulfilling life when they said that she was going to be bedridden and wheelchair bound. So I'm always interested, you know, blood work. If someone went to the doctor and they gave them specific recommendations and medicines to do, and maybe they're not helping them, can they come to you and find out maybe some alternative solutions that might work a little bit better for them just by going through your steps?
Well, I would never want to be putting myself or the prospect into a position of me being a diagnostician and recommending anything about their medications. But what I would do is I would ask them the questions, what do you want to do about it, without saying you should get off of your medications or stay on them. I wouldn't have any recommendation on that at all. Now, to leap forward to answer your previous question, what do I do? If you have a solution that I can help you with, I would recommend the product line that I represent. It's called USANA Health Sciences. And the reason why I do that is because they have 20-some-odd scientists on staff, so that every day I get detailed information about what's going on in the health world. Like maybe you've got a child with autism. There's several studies out there showing what you can do for autism. Or maybe you're not getting the right amount of sleep. Or maybe you have some a deficiency in certain vitamins if somebody's pregnant. So I have all that detailed information available to me that I can share with people and come up with a solution.
So tell me how that relates to balancing life and work, especially, again, this. The radio show is for local business owners, for people that are listening who may want to consume the product or the resource themselves. So how does what you offer relate to balancing life and work?
Well, there's another side of my business is that I'm a nutritional consultant, but I also train people how to become nutritional consultants.
Wonderful.
Using the product line that we have. And balancing life means that you said to me, an entrepreneur works 70 hours a week, gives up their 40-hour week job. I don't work 70 hours a week. I work about 20 hours a week. I've been able to homeschool my kids, 4 of them, over the last 20-some-odd years. I have a balance in my work, in my life, in such a way that I can run this business and help other people to set up distributorships, where I get an override And I also help them do the same thing, Wonderful. Teaching them how to be nutritional consultants.
And you, this is a family business as well, right? Your wife works with you also?
My wife and my kids.
Mm-hmm. How many of those children work with you?
Actively, I've got one that's really into it, another one that's playing around with it.
Got it. Awesome. Sorry.
But it is a business that I can give to my kids when my wife and I die. And how many businesses do you know of where the income will just continue to go to them?
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And so the product is USANA, right?
Yes.
Yeah, wonderful. Is there anything you'd like to tell us about that?
Specifically in what area?
Well, we've got about a minute and a half left for the interview. Sure. So I just want people to know how they can reach you, sure, and specifically what for.
Specifically, they can reach me if they want to know what they can do to make some changes in their life that they're not getting results with in other fashions. And I can help.
Yeah, because a lot of people will say they're innate, right? But are they really innate? Do they, you know, how often when it comes to something as revolutionary as changing your nutrition, changing your health, and making that investment in yourself, you know, people say they want to change, but I'm very involved in the fitness industry. I'm very involved in my own nutrition and meal preparation and so on. So, you know, not everybody is so inclined, but if they make the call, you can help them to get there.
I can help them move through that commitment level. I have ways of finding out if they're really committed or not. Mm-hmm.
We have ways.
How long have the track shoes been in the closet? Let's put them on, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, Dr. Norm, tell us again, phone number, website, best way for people to reach you, and we'll thank you very much for your time this morning.
Sure, you can reach me at my corporate website. It's balancinglifeandwork.usana.com.
Spell USANA for us.
USANA.
Wonderful.
It's balancinglifeandwork.usana.com or 897-3773. That's 897-3773 at 897-3773.
Dr. Norm from Balancing Life and Work, thank you so much for spending time with us on Go Local Boom this morning. You all are listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTVL. Welcome back to 1050 KTVL. You're listening to Go Local Boom. Our second guest this morning is an invaluable resource to our community, right?
Definitely is.
Vince and I have known Mr. Stacy Sacco for quite some time in different positions. You know, I was always excited to know that Stacy was involved in a startup and local incubators and so on. But Stacy Sacco's title nowadays is the director of the Small Business Institute at the UNM Anderson School of Management. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning. How are you gentlemen doing?
We're doing very well. How about yourself?
Very good.
Okay, so tell us what you're doing. What are you up to lately?
So really full time, I'm working at UNM teaching entrepreneurial studies courses. We piloted a new class this last year, Shark Tank. We're having a lot of fun with that with freshmen.
That is one of my favorite shows.
And that it's fun. And it's fun to have them go out and pitch their ideas to local venture capital.
So you say full time. Full time might mean something different to our listeners than it means to you. What's full time in your schedule?
Oh, you know what it really goes back to is that I've always, as so many folks here in town, we are considered, or were considered, I was considered an adjunct professor, which is you'd pick up contract courses at night. Mm-hmm. So I've taught, gosh, over the last 16 years since I moved back to New Mexico, 87 classes after my day job.
Wow.
I've been, you know, as the vice president of the chamber, vice president of Kirtland Federal Credit Union, worked at West. So it's really been about five jobs over the last 16 years. But at night, I would teach part-time. And now I've come on full-time. So I don't have my day job is the school. And
teaching is clearly your passion.
Teaching's and it's fantastic. And well, it's great to be part of that. It keeps me young, I must say.
Well, every time we run into one another at a networking event or in the community, I always have a question for you, and you always have an answer and a strategy for me. I can tell how much you enjoy helping those of us who are attempting to remain students, remain teachable. In business, that's important. I am a student of business, and sir, you are a professor, so thank you.
So as a lecturer now, which is it's a salary job, you're sort of in the middle between the contract and then also being a PhD. So I'm an MBA from Pepperdine University, but I don't have a PhD. So I'm not doing the research or papers. My main job is to teach and then run the Small Business Institute.
So tell us about the Small Business Institute.
So the Small Business Institute's been around about 30 years, well before I was there. Actually, it was about the time I left college, so that's funny. I haven't ever added all that up. But they really had formalized what a lot of classes do, where if you have a small business or nonprofit or another a larger company here where you're trying to do a market research or some kind of studies, you could go to a teacher and they'll plug you into a few students as a class project. In this case, we're working with MBAs. You pay a fee because we do have some costs associated with it, but we'll connect you to four or five students in an MBA class with a PhD with all that data that you can get that you can't get as an outsider at the parish library. And then we do these up to 100-page reports. I brought one here today so you could see what it looks like. But so they're sort of your team to work on whatever it is you need. And we do three or four different types of projects.
Yeah, I've heard about this. And a lot of people consider that a resource when they're startups because, you know, maybe I'm a one-man shop or I have only a couple of people on my team. We're really good at doing what we do.
Right.
But it's not scalable the way we're doing it, right?
That's right.
And so is that what you guys are good at is taking a 5,000-foot view, drawing us a picture of that so we can use it as a roadmap for our business?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. So the semester they meet with you, if you're a small, we consider you a client.
And how is a business selected for that?
Oh, well, the way we do that now, it used to be more where, well, and how it works is that companies will say they need some help. So they'll mm-hmm. come to us.
And is that an online application?
There's an online application.
Got it.
And we have three different sets of fees. It's so that's part of that. But as far as the selection process, it's really they apply. We only have about 12 to 15 teams per semester, so we'll get 20 to 30 applications. And so we leave it up to the students in a way with the professor, too, because if the professor has some expertise in strategy mm-hmm. and that's your request, then yeah. we want to make sure it's in that class because it's germane to that study.
Understood.
Because they're, part of this is experiential learning for the students.
Right.
It's not just doing a project and they're hired. You know,
so we want to know, we want them to work on a project that they're excited about, but also right. something that the professor has some experience in so that the client, so the customer, essentially the business, can get as much impact or value
That's
as possible.
Correct. And actually, too, the students, these are MBAs, so they're older. And so a lot of them have worked in a particular industry, and they sort of self-select which teams are going to be in. They self-select which company or organization they're going to work with. But we've had a ball with that over the last, now I've been in this position about a year and a half. We helped with the Wheels Museum, the Young Professionals of Albuquerque.
YPA is a good one.
Yeah, and the students spent time with the leadership in that organization and mm-hmm. then looked at what are they offering in terms of and in comparison to other competitive groups.
Right, and YPA is a nonprofit, correct?
And YPA is a nonprofit.
Yeah, so that was an interesting and probably somewhat unique experience.
That was a little different. We've also worked with a commercial real estate broker and some small businesses where they were needing really to take their business plan to the next level. Mm-hmm. We had a couple companies that are offering new, some of them are proprietary, so I can't say, but
right.
some of them were offering new products, so they needed some marketing strategy around that. I think the real benefit in here, though, is that you're getting a fresh new look at your problem. You're mm-hmm. getting new eyes. And students always amaze me with their ability to see things a little different, in particular, too, with their view of the world involves social media and other ways of sort of connecting. And so they're going to look at your business and say, hey, the next stage you probably need to be going to is this. And, of course, I get involved and the teachers get involved. And so we bring lots of our experiences to help, too, in terms of at the end of the day, we're going to recommend what three or four ideas they might take to improve their company.
So if you're a business owner and you're listening to this right now, and they might want to be interested, right? They want to get a fresh look of eyes. They want someone at the Small Business Institute at Anderson School of Management to help out. Would that be appropriate? The appropriate fit would that be for a startup business, for someone who's been operating for a year or two, 5 years, 10 years? Do you have that criteria in the selection process?
Well, in a way, we do, and we've changed that a little bit. We've always had it that it was a $500 fee to participate. But we have a lot of nonprofits who needed really a lower fee, so we changed that to $250. We have some larger corporations that are higher end, and they usually require a little bit more maybe involvement in going to different departments.
So kind of a sliding scale based upon your...
Yeah, so that's 1,000. But the smaller business is the key to this, and they're the $250 or $500, And we generally would say if they have less than $150,000 in revenue, then we call them small business. We're still trying to define that a little bit, but they are everything from startups to second year, third year, but it's more measured in terms of their impact or their revenues.
Okay. And once they apply, let's say they get selected,
yes.
What is the commitment of them throughout this process? Is that going to be something that their weekly, monthly updates, they're involved? How are they involved through this process?
Usually, and that's a question. It's a good question, just because we really want this to be impactful for them in terms of really solving a problem that's they're defining.
Yeah, you know what I think of is...
Well, they need to meet with them.
Exactly. And I have a mentor, right? I'm the development director at a local nonprofit. I'm also an entrepreneur. And I have a mentor for the nonprofit job, right? For the nonprofit commitment, but also for the for-profit commitment. And that person ends up being a life coach, essentially.
Right.
Because in order for me to be productive in my business, there's some things in terms of time management and so on that I need to understand and know well. So that's what this reminds me of. It's almost like a group mentorship for the business. You have all of these individuals
It's not unlike that, so many ways.
Whose focus is, you know, learning to strategize, learning about your business, and then, you know, giving you this business plan. But I know, as the person benefiting from the mentor, I have to drive the relationship. I have to set meetings with the mentor. I want to have access to them as often as I can through text message or phone or email. Skype is a great resource. So if I've got someone who's committed to helping me, you know, then I want to be sure that I make the most of that relationship. So does the business owner drive this relationship, or do you all set terms for them?
Well, right up front, we have a meeting with them, with the professor and the students. And that's when we define sort of like a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we're going to get done.
Here's what
we expect you to do as the business. And usually it's about 3 to 5 meetings during the semester. So that's not painful. But sometimes it requires more, and maybe we need to look at their financials and some other things. We're going to do everything confidentially. We sign lots of agreements. We're not going to talk about your business.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, it's about 3 to 5 meetings. And if they're in Santa Fe or whatever, we'll drive up and meet them up there. And it's an hour or two, you know, on each of those meetings. Some of them they can do online, and they don't need to have a face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And some others, they probably need more than that. But it depends on what the needs are. And some of it, if it's pretty involved, like a market research project, I know they're going to want to come back to you a lot and say, here's what we're finding out. Is this kind of, we're going the right direction?
Right.
I think the biggest issue with all this is, like anything, it's expectations or managing expectations.
Yeah.
You've got 16 weeks. That's fast.
That is fast.
And so what can you get done in that? It's lands towards we're pretty much in alignment. But every once in a while, somebody wants a lot more than what we can do. So we may bring them back. We have one school here that's come back 3 years or 3 semesters in a row.
Personality is a factor, right? The ability of the entrepreneur, the business, those are factors, yeah. So variables.
What's most interesting to me is that there's 90 other schools that do this around the country.
Wow.
And so there's a national competition in a way. The client is okay with it, we may send one of them in to compete. And we've won first, second, or third place in a couple different categories every year for about 3 years. So I love that when people
impressive.
Oh, Mexico's 50th. Are you kidding me? We're pretty damn good.
We have definitely a strong entrepreneurial spirit and an environment here.
We're hungry.
That gets underplayed a lot. Now, there's disconnects sometimes with local government and other economic factors here locally, but our entrepreneurs here are pretty very strong, and we have a great local environment for that too.
So the other thing we did this last year was we went to Mr. Cog and we got some money from Bank of America to do a study, and we said, okay, is this impactful? Do people actually use this data and do something with it? And it ends up in the last 2 years, the clients that we were able to reach, 54 that we answered our survey, they had created 195 new jobs.
Wow.
I've never seen this before in terms of measuring these kinds of things, other than maybe when I worked at West and some other organization. SBDC does mm-hmm. a really good job of this, of coming back and saying, do we really have an ROI on this money that we're spending and the time?
And the answer is yes.
We do. We've created 195 jobs, which was an additional $21 million to gross domestic product. Now it's
in Albuquerque.
A couple billion dollars, so it's not a lot, but it's something. I don't have $21 million. There you go. But it was, there's a paper that I put together that tells that's going to be a press release going out this week. But it was very exciting to know that, yeah, we do have a result, and it's a bottom line result, and it does impact the economy, and it doesn't. First, it impacts these small businesses and other nonprofits that we're helping, but then it also then has a multiplier effect in the state.
And you know, a lot of times it's really hard to understand the multiplier effect that is generated with these things. So we hear the studies all the time. We see these reports because they're necessary within some of these nonprofits and educational organizations to kind of put these studies out. I don't know. One of the these unseen factors that can't be measured all the time are also how does it affect quality of life in the area you live in? Having strong entrepreneurial small business communities always seem to reside in areas where they have a high quality of living.
Right.
And we won't get into all the cities, but you have some cities in Texas, you have cities in California, all over the U.S. I don't think we can say enough about the impact of when you have a strong entrepreneurial and small business
community. I'm a huge advocate for that, and I think we all are now. There's more of an emphasis on creating your own job, having a family business, and being involved in your own income, as opposed to working for some larger company. Which
Stacy, tell us again before we wrap up this segment, the name of the program and how people would find it if it was a resource they needed.
Okay, the best way to get there, because it's kind of a long URL or long, let's just go to UNM, the website unm.edu, look for Anderson School of Management, and then under programs it has SBI or Small Business Institute.
Small Business Institute.
But you could do that too by a Google search, just UNM SBI, you'll get right there. Second page, there's an application, there's more information about what we've done, and we're adding some new things to that website too in terms of other additional resources for small business. So it's a great place to kind of visit that community. So
we're going to come back after the break and keep Stacy Sacco on as the local business resource that he is. So stick around and join us. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. I am your host, Sean Boccaccini, my co-host, Vincent Trujillo. We're here having a great time. How's it going, Vince?
It's going great. I'm enjoying the show so far. We had a great a lead-in with Dr. Norm, talking a little bit about health lifestyles. You learned some embarrassing facts about my life.
Health lifestyles are important when you're an entrepreneur. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be taking care of your business.
And then now we got to learn a little bit about the Small Business Institute with Stacy Sacco, supporting our local business and entrepreneurial community here in Albuquerque, which is stronger than a lot of people think. And we're happy to have people like Stacy. And now we're going to go into a little bit of the segment of, as a local resource that he is for our entrepreneurs and business owners, we're going to talk about a very important factor. A lot of businesses need to get out there, spread the word about themselves, connect with others, connect with other businesses, potential partners, and customers directly. Where are you spending your time? Is it the best use of your time out there? We're going to talk about networking.
And why are we going to talk with Stacy about that, right? That's the question. Why should people stay on and listen to us? And the answer to that question is because he's been voted by multiple different local Albuquerque the Magazine, ABQ Biz First, and so on, one of the best people to have lunch with in the city, one of the best networkers in the city, right? Voted best networker in the city. And that takes a lot of hustle. It takes a lot of effort. But with that comes a lot of experience and perspective. So Stacy is going to talk with us about his understanding of the strategic networking process, because we all know the more that you're out there, the better your business can do, right?
Absolutely.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? You brought a wonderful handout for us to use, and I will immediately implement this into my strategy.
You know, I think a lot of this is about people will go out and just network. They'll go to a meeting. They'll have different groups or somebody will invite them to something, and that's great. But I think that if you really step back and say, where's the best use of my time, you're going to do this as a plan, as a strategic view of what you're doing. So
I'm very selective about the events that I go to, and I've got a goal in mind. I need to get 5 business cards of this type of person, one person in each sector.
Excellent.
If the first one that I get is kind of a dud, then I need to find another one in that sector, right? And that way I feel like I'm not just there to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm there to enhance my network, right?
Exactly. And I think a big chunk of that, or a big part of that, has to do with your use of time. And so let's say you go to, a lot of people go to maybe one meeting a week. It's 3 per month times 12 months. There's a couple extra in there, but that's 36 meetings times, and let's say I'm going to work 10 more years. That's 360 meetings. Okay. That's all I'm going to. Rest of my life, my working life, 360 meetings. I want to make sure I'm in the right meetings, right people.
Mm-hmm.
I did a TED talk on that. I have 1,000 more weeks till my actuarial table's over. So I want to make sure I'm doing really important things with my 1,000 Tuesdays I have.
Oh, wow. You know? I know that Vince is going to respond really well to that. He thinks in those kinds of
timelines. That's very important, Stacey. And I love the way you had broken this down, and we're going to get into it now a little bit about that. But if you look at it that way, every single meeting is important. And so many people I know, and I've done this myself, I just show up to events.
Right.
I just show up to events, and sometimes I'm like, why the heck did I go to this one?
Right.
And other ones are like, why didn't I plan to come to this one more prepared?
Well, and I think some meetings, yeah, you show up and you'll take advantage of it. That's because I know you guys. That's what you're going to do. You're going to work the room. You're going to do some things to make sure you're connecting to the right people, or at least giving it your best shot. And you never know. I mean, you and I talked, Vince, the other day. There's people that are potential buyers, but you really want to talk to the decision maker, and maybe who you're meeting is an influencer or somebody that's going to connect you to that, so they're a referral. So you got lots of different actors or players in this room that can help you move yourself to a sale and or a long-term relationship. Or, you know, and I think you have to be careful, too. It's not always about a sale, but maybe it's a resource. Let's say you need a printer, and so it's not you're selling printing, but you need a printer, so you want to talk to somebody that you trust as a trusted advisor to you the other right. way and say, hey, I'm looking for a printer. I need some help with a website. Where would I go? Mm-hmm. So all that turns into great dialogue about getting results, whether that's a sale or more information or resources. But I think it really, you got to be in the right room. And so it starts with which is the right group.
So give us an example of the right room.
So let's say, for example, you're targeting young people, young 31 to 40-year-olds. Well, there's about 12 groups here in town that have that's their focus.
Where's the best place for us to find those?
And I have a list of all of them I could share with you, but you probably are going to want to go to the Young Professionals of Albuquerque. They're one of the fastest-growing groups here. But the Rio Rancho Chamber has the Visionaries. They meet every second Wednesday. And there's young professionals in nonprofits. There's the Leadership Society, part of Young United Way of Central New Mexico. But you see what those all are? They're in segments.
Mm-hmm.
So Young Professionals is pretty broad. They have a lot of folks that are small business owners, but also up-and-comers that are executive types. Whereas the young professionals in nonprofits, those are folks that are probably working for a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
But so you're going to want to go to those groups. You're not going to go, certainly you could go to any chamber function or any other networking thing or leads group, and there'll be young people in there. But it's better to me to segment it the other way and say, okay, where are the young people immediately going to be, and then figure out which meeting. So
as that applies to your strategic networking process,
right.
you have 5 steps in here. One is define your ideal sales prospect. So rather than just shotgun approach, which a lot of people use, I'm just going to show up to 15 different groups, waste a lot of time, run around town. I feel busy, but I'm actually not getting anywhere. You want to say, hey, let's define your ideal sales prospect. And then we're going to ID the groups and meetings they attend.
Right. For example, with even young professionals, they have lunch with leaders. They have, and it's funny I'm talking about them because I'm not a young professional, but as a group, I just love this group and what they've done to grow this local economy. But it's because of all the different types of programs they have. They have the lunch with leaders. They have an effort towards some kind of a nonprofit where you can get involved. So, okay, which one of those meetings do you want to go to? I would tell you, too, the Rio Rancho Chamber, the 3 big ones, Rio Rancho, Albuquerque, and Hispano Chamber. And by the way, there's 17 chambers in the Albuquerque area. These 3 are the largest. Well, they all have about 10 meetings a month. So some are more. And I want to go to a meeting, by the way, where there's an opportunity for me to not only if I can meet the right people, but boy, if I'm in one where I get to do a microphone minute in front of everybody, now I'm talking to 30 people. Oh, and guess what? I'm hearing all of their comments.
Yeah.
So now I can say, better use of my time. I figure out which 2-3 people I'm making notes I need to go meet. So when they take a break, I'm over there meeting those 3 people. I do that anyways, because when I walk in any room, I'll always look at the roster and see who's there. I love to have, that's the next part of this, is when you walk in the room, how do you work that room? Well, I love meeting the president or the organizer or coordinator and talking to them about the 3 people I need to meet. And
I do the
they
same,
introduce me.
I do the same thing when I go to a new local restaurant. I want to meet the chef. I want to know. I want to know.
How fun is that?
I want to know what ingredients the chef knows they have on the menu, what changes they're making. I want them to know that I appreciate them and what they do, their craft, right? Because my experience is enhanced by doing that.
Exactly.
If you walk into a room, eyes down, sit at the table, read the menu, and do not engage the team that is executing your meal in any way, it's not as much of an organic, it's not as much as a connected experience. And people don't, you know, pay enough attention to food, in my opinion. This is kind of unrelated. But it's the same way when I'm working a networking event. I show up there. I want to know who the host is, whoever introduced themselves to me at the door. And a lot of times it's not the host of the event. It's someone else like me who is there and they want to catch people coming through the door. Who are you? What do you do?
Exactly.
And so I won't post up at the door because I don't want to create a bottleneck. I don't like the way that energy feels. I want the room to flow. But I'm somewhere nearby listening to them introduce themselves as they come through and looking at their name tags so that I can grab them before anybody else does because I want to get what I need to be done. Accomplished and then get out of there. I'm not, it's not the best use of my time to hang around throughout the entire thing, right?
Well, there was, in fact, a gentleman I worked with when I worked at West who he and I would show up at a meeting and he said, I'm going to meet three new people, and that was his goal. So I think you go with a goal. That wasn't my goal. My goal was to reach three people I hadn't talked to before and move that relationship forward and then maybe meet one new one. But which is funny because I think a lot of people see me as the social butterfly that runs around. Oh, no, I'm targeting two or three people when I walk in the room.
Yeah.
So that's sort of this working the room.
So that would be step three, work the room. Right. You have some bullet points here like check the roster, be introduced, ask questions and listen, build rapport, say hi. You know, a lot of those things are on step three of here. So you've already identified the group you want to be in, your ideal prospect, number one. Number two, you have ID'd the groups. You've attended now, and you've worked the room.
Right.
You've identified those people you need to meet by their name tag and asking for introductions. And then you move into follow-ups.
So the event is done. You go home. Make sure you have business cards and contact information and everything that you would need to reach out to them. Do you take notes?
I do on the back of the cards.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's sort of another step in there is that when you're meeting somebody, I generally – instead of going over and saying, who are you? I'll say, hi, I'm Stacy. Who are you? So I'm introducing myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear what their story is and what they're doing. I laugh because they recently did a lot of different publications here locally have been doing a lot about elevator pitches. Well, your elevator pitch is probably, if you know, you meet 100 people, you're going to have 100 elevator pitches because each person you talk to, you should probably modify or customize what you're saying to meet their needs.
So make it stick.
So you better listen to what they're saying. So you come in, you got two ears, one mouth, use them in that ratio. I mean, and then you'll say, what do? I do this. Oh, and then wait, get as much information as you can just to make it a valuable conversation. They'll say, what do you do? And you'll say, well, relative to what you're doing, here's what I do.
So how quickly after the networking event or the initial meeting do you follow up?
Oh, I try to always send an email within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If it's somebody I need to meet, then I might even call them that afternoon or send an email that afternoon and just say, hey, let's block a time out. You want to move on it. I think people, they'll be shocked you followed up, I think, because most people don't. And you met somebody and that's it. Well, okay. Wow. No, you're better off if you follow up within a short amount of time. It's all very...
Especially when it's fresh in mind.
Absolutely.
And I have found that. You know, I have cards of people that I was going to follow up with, right. And a month or two later, they don't even remember. Follow up within a week, is that what your recommendation is?
Yeah, well, I'd say even within 24 hours, if you can. You know, the other thing I didn't mention, though, is that I think you have to be careful with how much time... Where you're focusing. There are over 500 professional associations in the state, 522 meetup groups or 17 chambers. You have so many ways to connect. So really taking some time to plan this out. I have all these resources on a website, NM Netlinks, but I'm rebuilding it. It'll be called NM Links. So it'll all be available. Certainly if they wanted to email me or call, I'm available to send whatever they're looking for.
Stacy Sacco, director at the Small Business Institute, the UNM Anderson School of Management, creator of NM Links.
Right.
connection point for all the resources that you might need for your business. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning on Go Local Boom. Please let anybody that you know that needs this resource to come our way, because we are happy to create a forum for them to talk about what they do and how it can benefit our listeners.
Delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Welcome back to Go Local Boom for the wrap-up of this show. We spend a few minutes after our guests have been in just talking about what they discussed, but also what it is that we find the most valuable about what they discussed. And we try to fill you in on Go Local Boom, what it is, our mission, what we mean. But before we get too far into that, I want to thank Cumulus. Cumulus Media is our sponsor. Cumulus Media group of stations in the market are super strong, you know, the first one being 770 KKOB. The station we're on right now, 1050 AM, is also owned by Cumulus, but 770 is like our big brother station, right? Largest station in the market. Most listeners, you know, a business focus, white collar focus. But we've also got some other stations, and I'm not an employee of Cumulus. I just know how much we appreciate them for sponsoring Go Local Boom and bringing us on here, allowing us to create a resource for local businesses where they can come talk about what they do. And hopefully our listeners find value in the content of the show. KOB AM and FM, 1050 KTBL, 610 The Sports Animal, 92.3 also, as well as so many stations that Cumulus has. And for them to, you know, dominate the market the way that they do, have so many different stations, but to say, hey, listen, we appreciate you all and what you do so much. Come in here and do this for us and for our listeners and create a resource for local business. That's just phenomenal. So we just want to express our gratitude to Cumulus right now, and we'll talk a little bit more about them later. But Go Local Boom, Albuquerque's only online business directory where locally owned businesses and local customers can find one another. GoLocalBoom.com. It's a mobily optimized website. So essentially, anywhere you are in town, you open the Go Local Boom app, it's going to show you what locally owned businesses around you are participating, so that instead of going to a big box retailer and you know, sending money out of our community, you can choose a local coffee shop or a local burger joint and save money, conserve money, create sustainability within our community. For those of you that don't know, for every dollar that you spend at a local business, more than 70% of that dollar stays here. But for every dollar that you spend at a big box retailer,
up to 70% leaves the community.
Leaves the community.
Right.
So that's the money that we use for our schools, our education system, our streets, you know, and so many other things. So in any case, it's important for us to let you know the value of supporting local businesses. And in order to do that, we always bring folks in here that can talk about how local business can sustain itself, what resources local businesses need to succeed. Stacy Sacco with the UNM Anderson School of Management spent two segments on this morning talking about networking, how to build your business, and what resources they are. He's working on a website. I'm looking at this handout that he gave us. It's about 10 pages long of websites and links, chamber resources, business resources, connection points in the community. So we can't wait until he gets that that networking site up. Talked a little bit about the strategic networking process. What do you want to add about that?
No, I think it's great. Everything he had mentioned, you know, was twofold. One is resources available, local resources available to business owners and entrepreneurs where they can go and learn how to build their business better. So they learn how they can go to the Small Business Institute at UNM. They can apply, be accepted, and have their business kind of perused by students and the professor and Stacy himself, and get some answers to their biggest problems.
And that resource in the last few years has created 195 jobs and almost $2 million?
Yeah, $20 million in revenues, too.
$20 million in revenues for our community. It's phenomenal. So yeah, you guys need help with your startup or need some direction on business, you can reach out to Anderson School.
Right.
And then Dr. Norm Dawson, balancing work and life. He's a local business operator, multi-level marketing product, USANA. However, he does his best to focus on local supporting individuals who need to, you know, who would like another form of revenue,
right,
another revenue stream, work for themselves.
Yeah, he'd be operating on those like micro business or, you know, a sole proprietor. He not only has his own business, which uses the product for wellness, being USANA brand, and people have probably heard of it. He also brings on other distributors, trains them, and allows them to test the waters with what he does with the direct marketing and network marketing within that, and spreading the wellness message through that. So it's great when they are operator too, and then they also help empower other entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and he self-reported that he only works about 20 hours a week, and he's created a sustainable model that he can hand off to his children once he is no longer here. He's created something that can help them to thrive and survive indefinitely. So that is actually an impressive feat, and he's somebody that I would look to if that were my interest as well.
Right, and also with his wellness, you know, with his wellness background and the advice he gives and consulting on that, you know, that's very, very important. It's getting more and more important in the modern age where, you know, where we're seeing a big split right now is that people use, you know, you're either eating some of the junk that is being created now, and it is junk, I'm sorry to say. There's like a lot of mass-produced food now. There's manipulated, biologically manipulated food products out there, and you got to be very careful with what you're eating. So you're seeing people looking for healthier alternatives in lifestyle, in food and diet choices. And it's not available mainstream.
This is a good opportunity for us to plug the local growers markets. It's that time of the year now where you're multiple different areas in the community where farmers are going to be bringing their products that they can sell to consumers direct. So we'll make sure that we touch on that a little bit in the next show, give you guys some locations and times for the local growers markets. But yeah, Go Local Boom, Albuquerque's only online business directory. It's free to consumers. It's free to local businesses. Send people our way. If you're listening to the show, you are a business owner, you know a business owner, or somebody that could be interested in doing an interview on the show to promote their business, we'd love to have them. We once again want to thank 1050 KTBL and Cumulus Media. You are listening to Go Local Boom, your small business talk show, sponsored by Go Local Boom LLC, Albuquerque's only online business directory where locally owned businesses and local customers can find one another. Visit GoLocalBoom.com. We thank you very much, and we will hear you next week.